Hello and welcome to A Gay and a Non-Gay. Happy Easter, it's James and Dan.
Yes, happy Easter. This is A Gay and a Non-Gay, and today we're joined by some absolute legends on the podcast this week.
We've got our very own Jesus Christ joining us. Because much like Jesus' rebirth, we are so excited to welcome Elliot Page onto our podcast.
I think that's probably a bit sacrilegious, James. Sorry to our religious listeners. Anyway, today we are joined by Elliot Page on the podcast and Dominic Savage. This happened on location on the Thames in London, and we were talking about their new film, Close to You.
Yeah, it's a film that explores Elliot's character, Sam, in a chance encounter with an old friend on his way back home to a dreaded family reunion that forces him to confront very long buried memories and trauma.
Yes, it's a great movie about identity. It's actually Elliot's first movie back since his transition, so it was really amazing to speak to him. And we get into quite a lot in this episode about identity, about returning home, about the amazing working relationship that Elliot and Dominic have. Like, most of this film is improvised, which is kind of crazy. Much like this podcast, yes.
Enjoy our interview. Thank you for listening. Hi, Elliot and Dominic. Welcome to the podcast. So how did the genesis of this film come about?
Gosh, I saw Dominic's work. The first thing I saw was the episode of I Am he did with Samantha Morton, who's one of my favorite actors of all time. And I was completely blown away. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I felt it in my body. Like, just the intimacy of the filmmaking, the performances that Dominic captured. And then when we first had a meeting on Zoom, we just really connected. So the thought of getting to work with Dominic and make something in this way did just feel like, you know, the opportunity of a career.
It was totally unfiltered, actually. Mm-hmm. That was the beauty of it, in a way, because it felt like we'd known each other actually before in some way, you know, like for years. So it's like, so that was really nice. And also, I remember getting quite emotional with you. I felt emotional talking to you because we talked truthfully and we talked properly and about real things. And that felt really rare and rather beautiful. So immediately then I just thought, I've just got to make this film with Elliot, because it's going to be a real proper experience of filmmaking. And that's the essential ingredient, is actually you have a relationship before you start anything. You know, you have this solid base of, well, we get each other, we respond, you know, we feel, we have a similar taste, we feel things, you know. And that's it, really, isn't it? And I actually, after our Zoom, I felt really moved. And it's a lovely way to start to work on a project together. You know, I think I can't believe anyone makes films other than that. How do they do it? Tell me.
Yeah, I just want to do it again. It's so fun. Making movies this way is just such a thrill.
Talking of being unfiltered, the way that you like to work, Dominic, is very much improvisational. And I believe this was a first for you, Elliot. So how did you find that whole process?
Oh, going into it, I was legit shitting myself. I was like, what have I done? I don't know how to improvise. I'm just going to disappoint Dominic, da 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 da. And then you get there and you start doing it, and it just happens. Like, it really was such an extraordinary experience. And it's a testament to Dominic and you know, the trust you feel in the space he creates, and also how impeccable he is at casting. You know, this cast was just extraordinary. And the first day onward was just, I woke up every day exhilarated, excited to go to work. And you get, to me, you know, that joyful feeling of acting where you really just sort of like transcend into another reality. Filming this way, you get that, and it goes on and on. Your take could be 25 minutes. It could be 40 minutes. I think our longest was 53. So as an actor, to really get to disappear and exist in it for that long is...
You said this was the highlight of your life?
I mean, maybe I should say career. At 100%. It's, yeah, some of the greatest joy I've ever felt on a set. And I mean, I certainly did a lot of crying as well. It was very emotional, I think, for all the actors. But yeah, for yeah.
I like the way we went about it too, because again, it's being in tune with each scene, everything that we're doing. You know, it's done in a way of mutual belief. You know, it's not in any way dictatorial. It's like it's listening and believing, and actually feeling it as well. I mean, I felt every scene that you were doing, and I knew it had a power, and I knew that. And I always felt very grateful when you would text me and said that. And that was powerful stuff. You know, that meant a lot, because, you know, you feel it yourself, but you want to know that your actors are feeling really, really in it, really doing this.
As a movie, obviously, it's about evolving relationships with people like ourselves. Do you think, because I do, but I wonder what your opinion is, do you think that queer relationships, do they hit different? Are they louder? Are they more intense? What do you think?
You mean in storytelling? Like
in storytelling, but also in real life?
Maybe only because there's, you know, just realistically, there is a certain set of, you know, dare I say, obstacles that so many of us have to get through in order to not only love someone else, but love ourselves and rid ourselves of the shame that holds us back from getting to step fully into our lives. And and perhaps, you know, I think one of the great things about being queer and trans is you're already like not fitting in with sort of societal norms, so then you can have your own expectation, you can create your own future, your own possibilities, your own reality. And I don't know if that quite answered the question. I'm sort of like riffing off of that, but yeah, I'd say that's maybe the difference or the extra power, I suppose.
So you mentioned that take was 53 minutes, and was that the argument scene?
It might have been. And it started, scene, obviously there's so much you don't see. So that scene actually started with a game of pool. And I'm mad that stuff's not in, because for whatever reason, for whatever fucking reason, I was crushing it. I seemed like I play pool and I don't.
Every single ball went down.
It did.
On the first shot.
I believe it.
But Dominic chose to not put it in the film.
No. It was just too good.
The reason I bring that up is because that's my favorite part of the whole film.
What about me makes you so fucking angry?
I'm not angry. I'm just saying we can talk. Isn't that the whole thing?
You seem really angry, and I don't understand why you can't just like appreciate someone's like existence. Like, why can't you just respect that? How is that hurting you?
Oh my God, this is getting all political. I'm just saying we can talk. Isn't that the whole thing?
Hey. I'm just wondering what else didn't make it, because there's just so many directions and different arguments that you could have had over the table, and maybe you did have them all in those 53 minutes, but I'm just wondering what directions did it go in that didn't make the cut in the end?
I think there was just lots and lots of... I think when the crucial part of it is in the edit, where we start to shape things and then just when it's repetitive, I think that's it, you know, I think with the edit we've got, there's always new things coming in. So yeah, it's just that really. I mean, arguments can be repetitive too. So there's only so much that you need in the film. I mean, that's the point of it. The point of keeping going is that actually the momentum keeps going, you know, that the actors don't get removed from the power of what they're involved with. And I just don't, I think all the while it's interesting and you know it's got somewhere else to go, you just keep shooting and keep shooting, you know. And then you can orchestrate layers to go on. I mean, a lot of it was like what other family person would come in and add to it, and, you know, what they would bring to you and what you'd have to deal with. And, you know,
because Dominic would just, you know, have another actor, hey, go. And then it's someone coming in that obviously I don't expect, you know, with something to say, and then you're like completely pivoting and going there. And it is, can you imagine how fun that is as an actor? It's so fun. Yeah, and I think like that 53 minute take, for example, was just a lot of build up. You know, it was like a pool game, and, you know, you're feeling tension, and then it moved, and then it builds and builds and builds.
And we have the ability as well to sort of move wherever the characters go, we can follow them. I mean, sometimes, for instance, in that argument scene, you know, two of the family members went off and had their own thing going on, so that we would follow that, you know, and just see what's going on with that. And then when Elliot leaves, we follow him down the road and then potentially keep going until he went to the beach, you know.
Yeah. Dominic really likes walking.
Do you feel like this movie is groundbreaking? And if so, should it be? Because obviously these stories, I just feel like they should be louder. So I wonder how you feel about that.
Groundbreaking.
It feels weird to say something you've made is groundbreaking. But I think, unfortunately, yeah, it's something we're not used to seeing. And it shouldn't feel so new, this, you know, this story about a trans guy. I mean, there are lots of stories about trans guys. They just don't always find an audience, and that's what I'm hoping really changes, and more representation for, you know, trans people in general, and hopefully we'll see, you know, more and more trans mask people getting really cool opportunities. And also, you know, if you'd read the original, when I say outline, I mean like it's a script, but just description, and it could be like two lines, and if you'd looked at it, like, you wouldn't know my character's trans. No. You know, you wouldn't know Catherine's deaf, for example, and it's like these two people having a love story, and we happen to be a part of, you know, that's who we happen to be. And that, unfortunately, yes, felt new. I was like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that, you know. So yes, all you can hope is that we get to see more. And yeah.
And I think we just made it with belief and truth and a sort of sense of optimism. You know, there was optimism in the making of it, and a kind of lot of we put a lot of our love into it, and I think that's all you can do and hope for. You know, whether the impact of it or the effect of it is slightly out of one's hands in a way, isn't it? It's like you can do all you can to get. I think the key is just to get as many people to see it as possible, and then hopefully affect some kind of change of perspective. And you know, that's what I would like.
I have a question that's probably offensive, so please just tell me to fuck off. Was it easier to be in this movie than your other roles that you've been in, because now you are your true self, so you're not like double acting?
100%. 100%. I think it's obvious in my work, you know, the roles where I could at least slightly feel more like myself are, you know, better performances. If becoming myself made me a worse actor, that I'd be like, okay, you know, I guess I won't do that anymore, you know? So that's, for me, what's the most special is I get to go to work feeling, I mean, everyone has their days, but happy, inspired, present, actually there. So yeah, to get to act from that starting point, look out. What an asshole. Testosterone's made me an asshole, I guess. Just kidding. So yeah, that's just an absolute joy, you know, an absolute joy. I've never gotten to feel that way on a set.
You know, family's not the most important thing. It's not. And the fact that I should be expected to sit here and to make you all fucking feel okay is so fucked up.
Sam, you just gotta ignore
it. And I'm gone. No, I don't have to just ignore it, actually. Clearly, that's what you all fucking do.
So, running away with ourselves maybe a little bit, but if there was a sequel to Close to You, what do you think would be happening in Sam's life? Do you think he could ever go back?
Oh, yes. I'm sure he'd go back home and, you know, I don't know. They'd sort it out. But yeah, I think he's going to continue to pursue what fulfills him, continue on his journey of self-love and self-respect, and live his life on his own terms. Yeah. And hopefully maybe him and Catherine have a future. That'd be nice, you know?
And just finally, what advice would you give to someone in Sam's situation?
Good question. I mean, I can only speak for myself. I think in certain situations, I do just try and be, you know, patient. It takes people a second, right? Like when it comes to, you know, misgendering or what have you, and mixed with having boundaries and sometimes people don't have good intentions. And what does it truly mean to take care of ourselves? Do I have to set myself aside to make you feel better? To make the family feel better and comfortable? You know, it's patience mixed with boundaries and self-respect. And you don't have to set yourself aside to make other people happy. And if they at all suggest they love you, then they should love all of you and not just who they want you to be or who they expect you to be.
A perfect answer. I'd just add fuck off to that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for listening to A Gay and a Non-Gay with Elliot Page and Dominic Savage this week.
And a massive thank you to BFI Flare Festival for hooking us up. You can check them out on their website. They are an incredible LGBTQ+ film festival in London and online, and we love them.
Yes.
We'll be back in the studio next week, so we'll catch you then.
All right, bye.